So if you're new to LFCN or you've not been around a while, we've been in this series entitled Hashtag Struggles. And it's a series about the struggles in our life that can be greatly increased as a result of social media. So this is not a series against social media at all, okay? It is a series about this idea that there are struggles that we have in our life, and if we're not careful, those struggles can be intensified. And so in this series entitled Hashtag Struggles, you're like, what's that all about? Well, for those of you who have not gotten out much, in 2007, there was a man who hijacked the pound symbol off of our old telephones. And he turned it into a technological social media phenomenon. And now as a result of that, we recognize that it's changed even the way we talk. Like often kids talk in hashtags, right? And so in this series, Hashtag Struggles, today I want to conclude with a message entitled Hashtag Rest. Can everybody say Hashtag Rest? Some of you are like, I can't believe I just said hashtag, right? If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to look in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, and we're going to be looking in verse 28. You know what I love? This week I was meeting with a guy who was going through severe depression. And one of the things I shared with him is this. There are over 4,000. Can you say 4,000? There are over 4,000 promises in the Word of God for those who believe. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that good news? Can we just give God a clap offering for that? There are 4,000 promises. And so today I have one of those promises for you. In Matthew chapter 11 in verse 28, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Father, today we thank you for a reading of your word today. We ask God today in this series entitled Hashtag Struggles, in this message entitled Hashtag Rest, that you will use your word of God to speak to us and draw us near to you, that we might be the people of God that you have called us to be, that you would meet us right where we are in order that we, Father, might rest in you. For we ask it in your Son's name, and all of God's people said, amen. You know, personally, I am grateful for technology. I am so grateful for the things that technology has done for me in my life. My wife and I was messing with our kids the other day, and we were actually talking about this great technological device during our time as college students. It was called Microfish. If you're here and you know what Microfish is, would you raise your hand? Okay. You're either old or you're a highly educated young person. Now, Microfish was this. You see, if you were doing a research paper in college, what you would have to do is actually go to the library. You'd actually have to walk to the library, kids. Yeah. And you'd actually have to go in this room, which was called the Microfish room. And you actually had to go through these volumes and volumes of these things called Microfish. And they were categorized, and you had to go find them. And so you would do the research in this thing called a card catalog. And you would find out that the library didn't have that magazine or book, but they had it on Microfish. And you would actually go to the Microfish room, and you would go through all of this, and it would take hours, and you would finally find what you'd want to. And unless you wanted to stay locked up in a Microfish room for many hours, you would take change, and you would put it into the machine, and it would photocopy it for you, okay? And then you would actually leave the library with these pieces of paper with all your research, okay? It is crazy today the way technology is advanced, because today, kids, you don't have to do that. Like for instance, if you're having an argument with somebody, actually that argument can be put to silence in a matter of seconds, because all you got to do is ask Siri and she'll tell you who's right, right? You used to have to go research the argument. Not anymore. Siri knows all the answers, right? You know, and so we live in this age of technology advancement. But I want to say something to you. Despite the age of technology advancement, there's a reality that we gotta admit today, and that is this. We are a society of weary and exhausted people. We really are. As a matter of fact, so I started this series just this week. Someone who really has been into the series opened the newspaper and found a newspaper article that related to my series. So they actually cut it out of the paper and mailed it to me. They had no idea what I was going to be preaching this Sunday. But this lady right here, she made the USA Today. Here she is, okay? So we took a picture of it and threw it up there. This lady, Marie, made the USA Today color. I mean, not just black and white, but color USA Today. You know what she did amazing? Nothing. She did nothing amazing to make the USA Today. The reason she made the USA Today is because she is actually the poster child for millions of people living in our country. You see, here's the deal. Marie was feeling extremely exhausted and extremely tired. She was convinced that there was something wrong with her physically. So she goes to her doctor and she has a battery of tests. The first thing she thought was, I'm probably anemic. And so they did the test. Nope, she's not anemic. They did a whole host of other tests on Marie, and they found nothing wrong with her physically. At the end of the day, she came to discover, through the help of her doctor and doctors, that actually her problem dealt with one issue. She had allowed social media to so come into her life that it created exhaustion. I mean, you can look at the picture and tell Marie takes her social media seriously. I mean, her phone cover and her shirt and her computer are the same exact color. Like, she's serious about this, right? And see, what has happened is Marie is just an example of millions of people in our world today who are exhausted as a result of their relationship with technology and social media. Now, in this story that I'm showing you, there was a therapist and a psychoanalyst who made this statement. Listen to it. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can throw Snapchat and whatever app you want in there with it, can wear you out. Social media has created a new sense of impulsivity and urgency, and it can be fatiguing. It brings fatigue. Now, let me give you some statistics. Listen to these statistics. 58% of people do not go one waking hour without checking their phone. Listen to this. 59% of people check their email as it comes in without delay. When you get an email, your phone automatically vibrates and lets you know you have an email, at which time most of you are checking it. Listen to this. 89% of people check their emails daily, even when they are on vacation. Some of you are like, what in the heck's a vacation, right? Listen to this. 80% of teenagers sleep with their phones, and recent studies have revealed that many people's insomnia has been enhanced as a result of the ambient light that actually comes off of phones. 84% of people believe they couldn't go one day without their phones. I'm going to ask you a question. If you've done it, I want you to raise your hand, at which time I will raise my hand with you in unison. How many of you have left your house and drove miles away from your home only to discover that you forgot your phone and you immediately did a 180 in the road to go back and get it? There we go. I have done it. I have done it more times than you even would want to know. I mean, God forbid I not have my phone. I mean, the Lord could come back and I would miss it if I didn't have my cell phone. Right? What is it with us? Right? Like what is our problem? Now, I want to share this with you, and I want to be very clear, okay? Because I got some teenagers and college kids who are mad at me right now. Listen closely. Social media in our lives isn't the problem. The problem is the position and power of social media in our lives. It's the posture that we take toward it. Now, what does that mean? Well, let me break it down for you. Like money, social media is a great servant, but a terrible master. I mean, the power of technology and the power of social media is unbelievable. It is really unbelievable. And there are many ways to use social media in a constructive way. There is ways to promote the gospel through social media. Social media is not the problem. The problem is that many of us have taken this wonderful servant and we've allowed this servant to become the master of our lives. Let me be more clear. I want you to hear this. Any master other than Jesus will always lead us to exhaustion. Now, I'm going to say that, and I'm going to get a really big amen, okay? I'm going to say it over again. Any master other than Jesus will always lead us to exhaustion. Amen. Thank you. There we go. Some of you need to wake up. Now, here we go. I want to talk to you about that scripturally. In 1 Corinthians 6:12, this is what the word of the Lord says. It says, I have the right to do anything, you say. It's Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. I have the right to do anything, you say. But not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything. But I will not be mastered. Let me say it again. I will not be mastered. Would you say it with me? I will not be mastered by anything. You see, here's what I want you to know today. Paul is actually quoting the belief among those who were currently in the church in Corinth. He actually is using their words. You see, the actual scripture is in quotes. And so Paul is saying, you have said, I have the right to do anything. Now let me tell you about the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth is not the greatest example of a functioning, healthy, unified church. As a matter of fact, the church in Corinth could best be described, if you really studied and did the church, did research, you would come to discover that the church in Corinth was actually a very ununified body of believers. And they were very, very spiritually mature, immature. I would say to you, if you're living your life by this premise, well, I can do everything I want to because I'm free. Chances are you're not probably a very deep spiritual individual. You see, Paul is saying, you say you have the right to do anything, but I say to you, you having the right to do anything maybe is not going to benefit you spiritually. So Paul is saying, as a human being, you may think you have the right, but be careful about your rights. So let me return to my earlier truth. Any master other than Jesus will always lead us to exhaustion. Here's what I want to say to you today. There are hundreds upon hundreds of people who will stream on our property today. We had a good crowd in the first service. We have a good crowd here today. And I want to tell you, thank you for being here. I love it that you're here. Each one of you are important to me. But I want to say to you that in this room today, in this room earlier, at the Methodist church across town, or the Pentecostal church across town, or the Baptist church across town, or the Episcopal church downtown, I want to say to you, there are many worshipers of God who are showing up at church, but the truth of the matter is they have another master other than Jesus. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? You see, for millions today, we are mastered by this. Millions of people in our culture today are mastered by this. If my boys do something they're not supposed to do, or they misbehave in some way, or they don't meet some kind of expectation, you know the first thing that goes? Right here, because it gets them. Yeah. Right? Hey, when, you know, I get this response back from them. When, you know, I've had it for 5 minutes. When do I get my phone back? Right? And I give my boys a hard time, but I'm the one who's turning around in traffic to go back and get it, right? Right? You see, many of us have allowed this device right here to actually become our master. Do you know that many people today, they're more concerned about what people say on this than they are about what God's word says? Do you know that? Now, I would like to spend this whole message today talking about the fact that social media can easily become a master. But I want to say to you that there are many of you that have allowed social media to become your master. But there's others of you here today, you got other masters. I mean, in this room today, there are some of you who your master is drugs. As a matter of fact, the opioid addiction in the United States of America is off the chain. There are people in this very room right now who have a drug problem. Their master has become drugs. And they pay homage to that master in ways that you would not even understand. They have lost so much as a result of their addiction. There are some of you in this room today who have or are currently battling with the master called alcohol. I have literally sat in my office on countless numbers of times trying to help people who the reason why they're shaking like they're shaking is simply because they haven't had a drink today. A master that demands an unbelievable thing. There are some of you here today that your master is pornography. As a result of pornography, you are tired and you are exhausted because you have been serving this master that's trying to steal your life and steal your mind and steal your soul. And there's others of you, you have masters that society actually don't frown on your master. There are some of you here today that your master is fame. You want to be famous. And I'm not just talking about famous in the world. You want to be famous in your neighborhood. You want to be the one who puts that best foot forward and maybe has the nicest new car or has the nicest boat or the one who's put in the pool. As a matter of fact, your master has become the collection of things and what other people says about you. There's others of you here. Your master is work. You go to work and work even when you don't have to go to work because you have decided that it gives you something and it gratifies something in your soul. You say, oh, Pastor, you're preaching hard today. Would you get to the good stuff? Yeah, I'll get to the good stuff. The good stuff is this. Here's what you need to know today. You might have walked in here today with a master that is wearing you out. You may have walked in this place with a master that is fatiguing your mind and your body and your soul, but you need to know this. There is one thing, Jesus, who proclaims to all people, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, but my burden is light. Will somebody say hallelujah? You can give God a clap offering too if you want. You see, the bottom line is this. If you are mastered by anything other than Christ, you will live a life that is both exhausting and unfulfilled. In relationship to social media, we're going to have a time of confession. And some of you are like, I ain't Catholic. Well, some of you are, so we'll just gratify those who are, okay? I want to ask you a series of questions, and I want you to be honest. If you're new to LFCN and raising your hand makes you feel weird, then you're good. You don't have to participate. But others of you, you don't mind with this little survey. I want to ask you a question. How many of you here today would be willing to confess that on most nights, the last thing you do before you shut your eyes is check your phone? Would you raise your hand? A vast majority of people, okay? Let me ask you this. If you're willing to confess it and admit it today, how many of you would say that when you open your eyes in the morning, the first thing you do is check your phone? Raise your hand. Some of you didn't raise your hand because you actually used the bathroom first. So you're like, no, I don't do that. I do it secondly. That's just a bladder issue, okay? All right, And how many would confess this? How many of you would confess that oftentimes, more than you want to admit, you actually wake up in the middle of the night, and when you wake up in the middle of the night, you have this sudden urge to check your phone? Would you raise your hand? You're the ones who seriously have a problem. Okay, you're the ones I'm really preaching to today. You need to listen closely and take good notes. Let's start over. Regardless of where you are today, I want to say to you that the Word of God tells us, Jesus himself calls us, he says to us, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, many of us have structured our lives in such a way that our mind is never shutting down because of our dependence upon technology. Our minds never stop. We are constantly wanting to see this and read this and know this. And as a result of that, we have become weary and we have become mastered by this technology device. No wonder that is actually reported that those people who are developing all of this in the Silicon Valley actually have send their kids to school that don't have any technology at all. They know what they're doing to us, and they don't want to do it to their own kids. Lord, help us. You see, we need rest. If you're here today and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you need rest, would you raise your hand? Both of my hands are up. I need rest. Well, in Hebrews 4, 9, and 11, this is what the word of the Lord says. There remains then a Sabbath rest. Would you just breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth? There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works. Now listen to this. Just as God did from his. Did you get that? Just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. So that, now, did you hear that? Therefore, make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. You see, you were created in the image of God. You see, as God created you, he gave us all instructions about our bodies and about our minds. He tells us that he designed us in order that we might need rest. You know, this was so important for us that God not only told us we needed it, but he also practiced it himself. So in Hebrews, it is actually talking about the Genesis account. But watch this. I want you to think about it. I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not. So God created the earth in 6 days, right? Everything in all creation, he created it. And then it tells us very clearly in Scripture that on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. My question for you is this. I don't know if you ever thought about it. Do you think God was tired? Like, you're like, oh, I'm so exhausted. No. Just no. Okay? God wasn't tired. But what did he do? He rested. Because God knew that he was going to tell us to rest. And as a result of that, he wanted to demonstrate the fact that we need rest. And so he's going to be a really good teacher by not just telling us to do it, but actually modeling something. You see, God created us. He knows about us better than we know about ourselves. And he has given us this prescription on how to live our lives. But there are some of us that we act like we're God-like. We act like we don't need rest. There was a mentor of mine who was a pastor. He was a pastor of a very large, growing church. But he said this to me one day. It was very convicting. He said, Stephen, he said, if at least some of the people you know don't think you're lazy, then you're moving faster than you should. If some of the people around your life don't look at your life and say you're lazy, then you're probably moving faster than you probably should. Because we live in this breakneck society where we're running and we're moving and we're doing and we're running and we're moving and we're doing and we're eating social media and we're eating it and we're eating it and we're eating it, and our lives are crazy and there's no rest at all. And I realize that I'm right there with you. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I have prided myself in, and I'm not saying I'm better than you women, but oftentimes you women pick on your husbands because there's no way they can multitask. And so I'm not saying I'm going to compete against any of you women, but I'm just going to tell you, as a man, I'm a pretty good multitasker. Because here's the thing, I don't want to give 60 or 70 hours a week to this church. Because here's the thing, if I'm working 60 or 70 hours as the pastor of this church, I am not a very good husband and I'm not a very good father. So I've worked really hard at trying to multitask, trying to get it all done. And I do this and I work at it. I try to cram a lot into a little so that I'm not here all the time, or I'm not on the clock all the time. So this week I go to the hospital. It's Monday. Monday's a real big multitasking day because you want to get out in front of it all, right? So I go to the hospital. I had like this 45-minute window where I could go to the hospital and get it done before I had to go to somewhere else. And so I go to Central Health, and I go up to the elevator, and I get up to the elevator, and I push the button to go up. And I noticed it annoyed me. I didn't say anything, but it annoyed me that one of their elevators is not working. As much money as they charge me for health care, their elevator should always be working. Can I get an amen in the house? The biggest amen I've got all year, right there. And I'm thinking, as many millions of dollars as you've got, that elevator should be broke about 30 seconds forever, right? That thing should be fixed. So I hit the button, and my first thought was, well, it's going to take a while to get on this elevator because there's only one working. So what did I do while I'm standing there? Being the Superman pastor that I am, I'm going to multitask. So I got my phone out and I'm looking at text and I'm doing whatever, probably reading an email that just came to my phone that second, okay? And so the elevator doors opened up and I walked into the elevator and I hit 2 because I'm going up. The door's shut and I'm still doing my thing here with the text. And then the elevator moved, and after the elevator moved, I got off the elevator, and I walked out onto the elevator, and I'm at the hospital quite a bit. When I walked out of the elevator, I thought, they must have redecorated the second floor. And I thought, well, the second floor of the north building needed to be redecorated. And then I looked and realized I wasn't on the second floor. I had gotten on the elevator and hit 2, but at the same time, somebody on the ground floor called terrace level had hit the button too, and they listened to him instead of me. So the elevator goes down instead of up. I'm so much onto my daggone smartphone that the thing could have shot through the roof and I'd have never known it. So I walk out of the elevator, the guy walks onto the elevator, the door's shut, and before I realize it, I realize I'm stuck waiting for the elevator again. And I started laughing instead of being annoyed. You know why? Because I'm in this series called Hashtag Struggles, and I'm teaching this message called Hashtag Rest, and I got a really, really good story to tell. Otherwise, I'd have been mad. That's the life we live, right? And God has called us. He's called us to rest. The question for us all is this: how do we find rest in God? Isn't that a great question? Like, I think it's a great question. If you don't think it's a great question, it's a great question. How do we find rest in God? Can you ask that question? How do we find rest in God? Can you say it with me? How do we find rest in God? I've got 2 points for you today, 2 basic truths. Very, very simple. Listen closely. The first one is this: we need to learn to be still. Psalm 46:10 says this. David says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth." Just to be still. Look at your neighbor and say, just be still. Can I ask you this? If you're here and you find it difficult to be still, can I get a, that's me? Oh, what in the world's going on? Like, I can make a decision to be still, and I'll sit down, and about 3 minutes into being still, my mind's going, you need to do laundry. I can decide to be still, and my dog all of a sudden has a bladder issue. If I'm trying to be still, I guarantee you there'll be some kind of noise, there'll be some kind of distraction, whether it's external or internal, and the next thing I know, I'm not being still anymore. Can I get an amen in the house? The struggle's real, isn't it? The struggle is real. And that's why David, he struggled too, because you know what David said? David actually went on to say in Psalm 131:2, I have stilled and quieted my soul. David's saying, I did this. In order to still and quiet your soul, that means that your body, your mind, and your soul wasn't stilled before that. You see, the way we begin by being still is by telling our restless souls that it's time to be still. Easy for you to say, Pastor. No, not easy for me to say. I'm one of you. You know, in Genesis 4, y'all know the story real well. You don't even have to go to church. In Genesis 4, you know what happened? Cain and Abel. So what did Cain do? What did Cain do? He killed his brother. So he killed his brother, right? God prophesies this truth. As a result of you killing your brother, you will spend the rest of your days on earth living as a restless wanderer. For the rest of your days, you will live as a restless wanderer. You know the sad reality of that? Many of our lives are being defined by Cain's reality, because many of us in our lives, if we looked at our lives closely, we would have to admit that our lives look very much like that of Cain. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to be still. Help us to know. How do you do that? You just got to start practicing. You gotta be still. You gotta be still. Can I tell you what happened? As a result of this, I try not to ever be a hypocrite. And I'd like to tell you that everything I've ever preached I have a mastery over, but that would be a flat out lie. But I don't wanna be a hypocrite. I don't wanna be up here talking this and then go home and try to live something else. And so I've been putting some stuff in my life over the last month where I'm trying to practice what I preach, right? And this week, I made a determination, and I'm going to talk about it more in a little bit. I made a determination. Today, I am going to be completely still in the presence of God for a half hour. Completely still. I'm not even going to put worship music on. Right? That's a good thing to do, but not today. I'm just going to be still. And I got up from my table, which says work, 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 right? You know, you're sitting at a table. It's like, I'm going to get some stuff done. And I had taken my phone, and I had put it on the other side of the room on silence. And I sat down on my couch to be still for a half hour. And I'm going to tell you, within the first 3 or 4 minutes, dude, there was a fight happening. Like, you know what I'm talking about, right? I'm not the weird one, am I? You know what I'm talking about? Like, all of these things are coming to my mind, and I'm feeling this desire to get up. I mean, but God's got me there to the point the dog don't even have a bladder issue. He's asleep beside me. And I'm sitting there, and I'm quiet, and I'm silent before God. And this really, really, really cool thing happened. I don't know. I didn't have my phone with me. I wasn't looking at the clock. But I'm guessing along about 21 or 22 minutes into my stillness, I felt the presence of the living God just come over me. You're like, Pastor, what do you mean? I can't really explain it to you, but I'm just going to tell you that in the quietness of that moment and that desire for me to be still, the Spirit of the living God fell fresh upon my soul, and my mind began to be filled with the goodness and the majesty and the love and the compassion of God, and I sensed it. It rattled through my muscles. It rattled through the bloods in my veins. It rattled to the core of my bones. I broke the silence with these words. Don't leave. Lord, don't leave. Would you stay? And I wonder how many of us, we go to church on Sunday and we fly by the Christian flag, and we try to be good people, and we try to be good neighbors, and we try the very best that we can, but many of us don't know the last time that we sensed or felt the presence of God. And could it be that it's not that God is far off? Could it be that it's not because God is distant? Could it be the fact that many of us just won't take the time to rest and invite Him to come and be a part of our presence? You see, we need to be still. The second part of the game plan is we need to make a plan. Can everybody say, make a plan? The teaching of the wise, it says in Proverbs 13, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. Good judgment wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful leads to their destruction. All who are prudent act with knowledge, but fools expose their folly. I want you all to know this. If you're not here on a Sunday, this church isn't as good. You know, there's some of you that think, oh, well, I go to Lynchburg First Church of the Nazarene, and they hover somewhere around 600 people. It don't matter if I'm there or not. No, it does matter. When you're not here, we're not as good. I miss most of you, especially those who sit in the same seat every Sunday. I know. You matter. But I wonder how many of us have shown up on Sunday morning and we've sat in these chairs and we've heard the Word of God preached and we've been challenged by the Word of God and we've been challenged by the wisdom of the Word and we've been challenged by the truth of His Word and we have left here unchanged because we have not allowed the truth of His Word to permeate our hearts. Oh Lord, forgive us. You see, it's not just about knowing truth. It's about taking the truth and implementing it into our lives. A couple of years ago, I was coaching my older two boys in rec basketball. And the week before, I just so happened to be seeing the team we were going to play the next week. And they were in a really, really close game. And I saw the coach, he caught a timeout, and he got his kids together. And when they came out of the timeout, this guy, he got his team to jump in a full court trap. So he was going to trap the ball as soon as it came in. And it worked to perfection. They got the ball back, and they scored, and they won the game. And I thought, oh, okay, I know what you're doing. So that week in practice, you know what I did? I said, boys, this is what we're playing. We're going to Brookville High School. We're going to play this team. And so we had this play. It was an inbounds play where I would put my big men in the back and my guards in the front, and we would slap the ball. And when we slapped the ball, the guards would stand still. The big guys would run down and set screens for my guards. And then the guards would peel off like they're wide receivers. And then I had one of my best athletes who had a good arm throw the ball toward the center of the court. The guard would catch the ball, and they would make the layup. And we went over it, and we practiced it. And we got it like twice out of 10 times in practice, but we practiced it. And do you know, we went to Brookville High School that next Saturday, and wouldn't you know it, it was a very, very, very tight game, and we needed a basket. And sure enough, it was like 8 or 9 seconds left, and before that other coach could even do it, I called a timeout. And I said, this is what the coach is going to do over there. He's going to full court press us, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to run what we practiced in practice, and we're going to get the ball, we're going to score, and we're going to win. And do you know what? We ran that play to perfection. We got it right 2 times, 3 times out of 10 in practice. But wouldn't you know it? My boy threw that perfect pass down the center of the floor right there at Brookville High School. One of my guards got the ball, went down and did the layup, and we celebrated like we had won the national championship. Why? Because we took the knowledge of what we knew and we practiced it in our lives. And scripturally speaking, God is calling us to do the same thing. So we're on this athletic idea. Today I want to give you a game plan. You see, here's what you need to know about a game plan. You need to have a defensive game plan, and you need to have an offensive game plan. So in relationship to social media being your master, let me give you some defensive ideas of how you can help. First of all, put your phone in another room when it's time to read the Word of God. Some of you are like, well, maybe I should get around to reading the Word of God first. Yeah, that's a really good idea. Yes, you should. You should probably spend time reading and praying. And what you should do is you should put this somewhere across the room or the other room. You know why? Because there's science to this. It's not that you're a bad Christian or a bad person. Actual science says that when we turn this thing on, something happens to our minds and we want more, more, more. That's just reality. It's science. So take this and put it somewhere else. Don't let it be a distraction. I know your friend needs to tell you what she had for lunch today, but it's not necessary you know right now. Can I get an amen? Amen. I know your friend is looking especially pretty, so she wants to take a picture of herself in the mirror in the bathroom. But you ain't got to see it all the time. Lord, help us. Be defensive. Here we go. Turn off all your social media notifications to your phone. Do it. They'll be there whenever you want to log in. Just cut it off. Decide that there will be no phones at the dinner table, or that at a certain time in the evening, your phone needs to just maybe go off. Some of you got to get back to the meal table. I preached 8 weeks on tables, and you all forgot it a while back. Cut it off. Put it away. These are things that I'm trying to do. Maybe you need to go on a social media fast. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not going on a social media fast. I actually use social media as a ministry tool that helps me in ministry. But I'm going to tell you this. Since the series began, I am probably on it 80% less of the time than I was when it began. Because you know what I discovered? It was making me sad. It was wearing me out. And I am tired. And so I'm still on there. I'll still check my messages, just not as regularly. I'm still connected, but just not as much. Let me give you some offensive ideas. Be completely still and quiet for 30 minutes a day. You're crazy. It was all good till that. I'm going to Presbyterian Church next week. 30 minutes. You know, the problem is, a lot of us, we go, I don't have time to be still for 30 minutes. No, you have time. It just scares you to death. Many of you are fearful to sit in a room without distractions for 30 minutes. You have done it so infrequently, the thought of that actually brings horror to you. Another offensive thing for you to do, exercise at least 30 minutes a day. You're like, ain't nobody got time for that. See, y'all been on social media. If your neighbor laughed, they've been on social media way too much. You ain't got time for that. Here's this. You have time for whatever you want to have time for. It might require you sacrificing a half hour of sleep, but you'll do whatever it is you want. All the time I have people in church that tells me, oh, I don't have time for that, Pastor. No, what you're really saying is it's not that important to you. You're not telling me you don't have time. You're saying that's not important to you. That's all you're saying. Because you'll do whatever it is you want to do. Here's what you need to know. Exercising 30 minutes a day, you don't have to run. You don't just walk fast somewhere if you have to, okay? And I guarantee you, if you walk fast for 15 minutes in one direction, you'll be able to do 30 minutes because you got to walk back, okay? So just walk somewhere real, if you're not committed, just walk somewhere real fast for 30 minutes. It'll work out for you, unless you want a thumb and catch a ride back home, right? You say, what do you mean by that? Here's what you need to know. Exercise does something for your mind. I'm going to tell you all a story, and unless you've seen it, you're probably not going to believe it. I go to Planet Fitness, not as often as I should, okay? I went to Planet Fitness this week, and as God is my witness, let me tell you what I saw. I've actually seen her there before, because when you see it, you never get over it. There's a young college girl there, and I'm not picking on her. I'm impressed, very impressed, because if I tried this, I would die. She gets on the treadmill. I didn't go over close enough to see what she was doing because I didn't want her to call the cops and say I was stalking her. But she's on the treadmill. I'm guessing she's going at least 9.5 on the treadmill. That's fast. Okay, I'm guessing somewhere in the nines, maybe even faster. It gets even more impressive. That, like, I could stop right there and some of you is going, oh, I'm going, wow, that's impressive. No, she was doing it backwards. 9.5, whatever it was, fast. I didn't go close enough to know. It gets even better. She had her phone in her hand. I ain't lying. If I'm lying, I'm dying. She had her phone in her hand. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to go to the locker room and get my phone and videotape it. I couldn't really understand why. I either wanted to do it to protect Planet Fitness in case she got hurt, or I wanted to do it so when she crashed and burned, I could put it on social media and get rich. I'm not sure. She had her phone in her hand. I'm not lying to you. So in the working out thing, you know what some of you do? You're multitaskers. You know what you've been doing? You've been working out while you're on your phone. It doesn't help. Put your phone away. Clear it. Because your mind needs time to escape this master. You need to do it. Another offensive weapon is this. We have an awesome app here at LFCN. Some of you didn't know it. It's an app called LFCN. Go to the Play Store and download it. What'll happen is it'll ask you a series of questions that only you will get the answers for. But once you answer those questions, it'll then start sending your phone scriptures at whatever time of the day you would like them, as often as you'd like them. And so here's what I do. Early in the morning, my phone buzzes along about the time I'm fixing my coffee, if I'm on my regular schedule. And I consider that scripture my appetizer. And this is what I've been doing lately. As my coffee's being fixed, I'll read the scripture that LFCN has sent me. That'll be my appetizer in the morning. And now, because I've realized what a distraction this is, after I read the scripture, I'll take my phone and I'll put it across the other side of the room. If you're not into the LFCN app, get the YouVersion Bible app. Decide that you're going to be on this. Well, if I'm going to be on this, before I'm on it for reasons that don't really matter, I'm going to be on it for reasons that have eternal value. Can I get an amen? And here's what I want to say to you. If we'll be still before God and we'll make a plan for our lives, I believe in the midst of it, God will provide rest for our souls. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to ask you a question. Don't allow distractions to mess with you this morning. I want to ask you a question today. Is there something that is mastering your life that isn't Jesus? And would you be man enough or woman enough today to admit that this thing that is mastering you actually is bringing weariness and exhaustion to your soul? Maybe it's an addiction to social media. Maybe it's an addiction to drugs. Maybe it's an addiction to alcohol. Maybe it's an addiction to pornography. Maybe it's an addiction to your reputation. Maybe it's an addiction to work. Maybe, whatever. Is there a master that you have today that's other than Jesus? I believe if many of us were honest today with ourselves and with God, we would have to answer that with an affirmative and say, yes, Pastor, there is. I wonder today if you're just tired of it. I wonder today if you're just really weary. I wonder today if it's time for you to hear the words of Jesus when he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This morning I'm going to ask you to step out of your chair this morning and make your way to this altar of prayer and say, God, I just need rest for my soul. Would you move right now? God, I need you to help me to overcome this thing that has been mastering my life. God, I need rest. I need rest. Church, would you pray this morning? Would you just pray? Would you pray for rest? Be calmed and broken. he's a good God, would you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I want to close today with just two brief announcements. If you're, okay, make it three. If you're visiting with us today, give us just a couple of minutes at the Connect Room. That's the first announcement. The second announcement is this. Trunk and Treat and Harvest Festival is happening today inside. So if you commit it to a trunk, you're going to decorate a table now, okay? So we're going to be here. Everything's going to be the same. It's going to be indoors, free pizza, free kettle corn. We're just not going to be doing the hay ride. Wet hay don't look good, okay? And then next Sunday, I begin a brand new series. Watch this 30-second clip. It'll tell you about it.